So today our point of discussion would be حكم المداعبة دون الإيلاد. Rule of the woman's without penetration, without ejaculation. And this matter is related to family planning. In our previous sessions of the sessions we discussed about the issue of family planning. Today we are going to discuss the matter as how it came in the question. سئل الشيخ محمد الأثيمين رحمه الله. شيخ محمد بن صالح الأثيمين was asked عن الرجل يجلس بين شعبها الأربع about the man that positioned himself between her forelimbs, about the husband that positioned himself between the forelimbs of the wife, ويمس الختان, and he touched the genitalia. He got in contact with her genitalia, her genital organ, من غير مجاوزة, but without penetration. ثم ينزل خارج الحلق. Thereafter, he releases outside the vaginal opening. هل عليه ما غسل؟ Do they have to perform the ritual bath? Is it a mandate upon them to perform the ritual bath, to perform the purification bath? So that's the question that was asked to Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih Al Uthaymeen. Of which this question was there in the Majmu' al Fatawa wa Rasail ibn Uthaymeen. So going back to the question, فعجاب, thereby he answered, الرجل عليه الغسل, the husband upon him the ritual bath, when for the husband, for the man in that kind of situation, he shall perform the ritual bath. When the ritual bath, the purificational bath is upon the husband only, the andahu anzal, because he released, because the sperm was released. وأما المرأة فليس عليها غسل. But as for the wife, as for the female, she has nothing to do with the performing of the ritual bath. وليس عليها غسل. There is no any recommendation upon her with the ritual bath. وليس عليها غسل. There is no bath that has to be performed on her, that has to be performed upon her. She is not deserved to perform the ritual bath or the purification bath in that kind of situation, because he was the one that released, and there wasn't any kind of penetration. لأنه من شرط وجوب الغسل على الإيلاد. لأنه من شرط وجوب الغسل الإيلاد. Because it is part of the recommendations, part of the commandments, part of the conditions that legitimate the ritual bath al-ilaj, the penetration, ejaculation. So when ejaculation happens, there must be performing of the ritual bath. As how I mentioned a hadith in the previous session, إذا جلس بين شعبها الأربع ثم جهدها وكجوا جبل قصر. And one way, as how the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned from the riwayah Imam Muslim, إذا جلس بين شعبها الأربع ثم جهدها فقد وجب القسم. If he positioned himself between her forelimbs, between her hind limbs and forelimbs, then he gave her time, meaning he penetrated her, he penetrated into her, ejaculated her, فقد وجب القسم. Then in that kind of situation, in that kind of circumstance, the bath, the ritual bath, become a mandate. So, but in the case whereby there wasn't any penetration, no ejaculation happened, it was just a mere romance. It is just a mere romance movement without penetration. So in that kind of situation, as far as the husband released, then the purification bath is upon the husband only. As how Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih al-Usaymin responded to the question. Further he mentioned, ومن المعلوم أن part of the known circumstance أن موضع الختان فوق الحشفة مما يلي قسمة الذكر. That the position of the female genital organ فوق الحشفة above the prostate مما يلي قصبة الذكر of what surround the epic of the penis, the gland penis. In the position of the female genitalia near to the glans penis, فإذا كان كذلك, if it is as such, فلا يمس موضع ختان, فلا يمس موضع ختان المرأة إلا بعد أن تلد الحشفة. Why? He will not be able to touch the position of the vagina, the position of the labia, إلا بعد أن تلج الحشفة, unless after the penetration of the prostate, until after the penetration of the penis, because he will not be able to know as far as he get deeper. The more he passes the vaginal opening, he will not be able to know that he is near to the vagina unless he touches the position of the vagina. And the more he feels that, that indicates the penetration of the penis. ولذلك اشترطنا, and that's the reason why we establish a condition. We make a rule في وجوب الغسل من الجماع أو في وجوب الغسل من الجماع. The compulsion the ritual bath from the intercourse. أيديب الحشفة by the obstacles. That is why the penetration of the prostate. Meaning when the penis get hidden, then that would be a kind of mandate that legitimates to the performance of the ritual bath. So in this regard, as how it came in the hadith, what legitimate to the ritual bath is the penetration of the penis inside the vagina. So in that kind of case, as how it was stated in the previous hadith that I mentioned, ثُمَّ جَهَدَهَا. That's the reason. When ejaculation occurs, وَقَدْ وَرَدَ فِي بَعْدِ أَلْفَاظِ الْحَدِيثِ what it arrived, it came in some of the statements of other hadith, in some of the statements from a hadith. As how the Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِذَا الْتَقَى الْخِتَانَانِ when the two genitalia come in contact, when the two genitalia collide, meaning the penis and the vagina, وَتَوَارَتِ الْحَشَبَ and the prostate get obscured, get hidden, meaning get deeper, وَقَدْ وَجَبَ الْغُسْلُ so the purification bath become commanded. So meaning when it gets obscured, then in that kind of situation, the ritual bath or the purification bath become commanded. And this hadith is an authentic hadith. It was narrated by Imam al-Tabarani in his magnus opus, the Mu'jam. And also it was narrated by Imam Abu Hanifa in his Musnad, Musnad Abi Hanifa. This hadith was mentioned. And other narrators also. A portion of the hadith was narrated by Abi Dawood. And similar narration in other words were also narrated by Imam al-Tirmidhi. Whereas how it came in the matn, التقى الختانان وتبارك الحشفات وقد وجب الغسل. This text was narrated by Tabarani and also Abi Hanifa in his Musnad. So that's what the Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam mentioned. When the two genitalia come in contact, they get collide. When the two genitalia collide, and the prostate, meaning the penis, get obscured, فَقَدْ وَجَبَ الْغُسْلُ so the purification bath become a mandate. It is mandated, it is compulsory, it is obligated for the couples to perform the ritual bath or to take the ritual bath. So that is in the point of the purification. So but if we look into the context of the hadith, what the Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam mentioned, فَقَدْ وَجَبَ الْغُسْلُ the ritual bath become a mandate without any specification, meaning for both the genders, the male and the female, the husband and the wife. And that is indicating the ejaculation, because he mentioned the وَتَوَارَتِ الْحَشَبَ and whenever the prostate get obscured, so in that kind of situation, the ejaculation occurs, and that legitimate to the performing of the ritual bath, of the purification bath, or purificational bath. So that's how he responds to the question. فلا يمسه لقتال المرأة إلا بعد أن تلج الحشفة because he will not feel the appearance of the vaginal opening unless he get penetrated into her. So when that happens, there is ejaculation. But suppose the prostate of the husband is outside and he lays outside. So in that kind of situation, as how it was mentioned clearly, that upon him to perform the ritual bath. What for her, she has nothing to do with the ritual bath. But she can perform the normal bath. She can take a shower. you know, that will help her to be free from any kind of contamination, because the more woman romantic play happen, there might be a chance of transmission of some of the microbes or a kind of infection, for example, like syphilis, gonorrhea, and HPV, human papilloma virus, for example, and other fungal infections. So, and that's the reason why usually the religious legitimate to the performance of the ritual bath in order to free from this kind of infections. And by chance, a person can become syphilistic. And maybe if the husband is infected with a kind of hepatitis or hepatitis B or hepatitis C virus, he can get infected also. And that's the reason why there is a need for taking the ritual bath. Usually for the husband, in that kind of situation when he released outside the vagina. And that is a kind of natural method of family planning. That is a kind of old culture of family planning. And it is permitted. There is no problem and such. It has some pros and cons. There are some matters behind the natural methods. It is less reliable. It is better for you to make use of the contraception techniques or the contraceptions. You know, there are emergency contraceptions also. And also, there are other methods like the use of condoms, the birth control pills, the use of IUDs, intrauterine devices, the use of the contraceptive implants, like tubal ligation, and also some other surgical techniques. Either like the vasectomy, all this are much more reliable than the natural methods. The natural method was once practiced even during the time of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the concept of al-azl. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them the goat. He did not one against them, although the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam neither supported that, no, he won against that. Maybe that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows that it is not a reliable technique. That's the reason why he did not want them against that, because the natural method is less reliable. But it can be followed as a kind of method of family planning if practiced consistently and correctly. If the couples practice the natural methods consistently and they practice that correctly, so in that kind of situation, it would be regarded as a matter of family planning. But there is no certainty in that. Maybe the wife will become an expert in the natural method. But the husband might be an amateur. So by chance she can get conceived. Why what they want is not to have the conception at that particular period. And there is a kind of mistake that the cock knows, or a kind of mistake that comes from the husband. He might be having a kind of interest of not having a baby at that particular time or in that particular year. But without the consent of the wife, or consent from the wife, he would fail to discuss with the wife. He would just decide to practice the family planning technique. And most especially this happened in the natural method, like the issue of an azad, where the wife might have a kind of desire of having baby, or getting concepted, or having the conception. She wants to get conceived. But the husband keeps practicing the al-azad, the natural method of family planning. Because the natural method has so much procedures, and it has some techniques also. Like for example, the husband or what the couples to track the menstrual cycle. Like for him tracking her menses, he knows the time when she is not in her period. And she knows also. And one of them knows the time when she is in her menses or not in her menses. So by monitoring that, or tracking that, they can be able to practice a good way of family planning. Or monitoring her BBT, meaning like their BBT, or particularly to the woman, her BBT, meaning the basal body temperature. And also like through the observation in the cervical mucus, observing the changes in the cervical mucus, and that is a way of detecting the fertile and the infertile or non-fertile periods. Because through the observation in the cervical mucus, the couple will be able to know that they are in the non-fertile period, so they can have the sexual intercourse and the wife will not get conceived, for example. So but it is a kind of difficult technique. But if they understood each other, both of them are experts in the technique. They are professionals in the practice of the natural method. And they are not in need of using the contraception. But the better aspect of the use of the contraception is that they would be free from some other contamination and diseases transmissions. And that's why it is highly recommended. Natural methods is an all cultural practice. It works also, but when it is practiced consistently and correctly, and there is no any certainty in that. But another way that is much more better is the use of the contraception. As I mentioned earlier, that's the better method. The religion has not any problem with the issue of family planning, because It is related to the reproductive health. It is related to the reproductive right. And that's the reason why the husband should not take the decision himself only. He shall consult the wife also. Because she has the choice about her reproductive health. And that's the reason why in any kind of situation, even if you are reproductive health professional, you shall not recommend the husband without the consent from the wife. You shall listen from what the two parties. You must listen from the husband and the wife, so you can give them a good advice or the protocols to follow. So you as the husband, you shall not just consult your primary healthcare provider in that kind of situation. You must abide by her choice of her reproductive right. She is having right upon you. وَإِنَّ لِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّهُ. Your wife has a share of right on you. So she has the right on her reproductive health. You shall not play with that. And that's the reason why, with regards to family planning, the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet, were practicing that. Although they were practicing the natural method of releasing outside the vaginal opening, the Rasulullah had not warned them against that, neither he supported that, because he might be knowing that the humanity is under the process of development. There would be a period of development where we would be having an alternative of contraception. And today we have, for example. But all these examples that I mentioned, like the use of condoms, the birth control pills, the use of the IUDs, we are not just to go and purchase these materials without the consent or advice from your physician. In this kind of matters, you shall contact the nearest gynecology center from your home, or you can contact your gynecologist or any fertility care specialist, and also you can contact your prenatal care specialist. You would get better advice and recommendation towards this matter. So, but the basic foundation of this question that was provided by Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih Al Utsaimin is related to the natural method of family planning. Although the questioner did not clearly state that, but from the statement that came in the question, we understood the reason behind that practice. Because the question was stated about a man, about a husband that positioned himself between the folios of the wife, that had a kind of romantic play with the wife. And at times the person touched the vaginal opening, but without penetration. Day after, he released outside the vaginal opening. Are they supposed to perform the purification bath? So in that kind of situation, the husband shall perform the purification bath. Shall take the purification bath, not the why? But we should be careful in this kind of situation. Because with common sense, usually, as how the Sheikh mentioned, not me mentioning, but the Sheikh mentioned, that the person will not be able to know that he get penetrated unless he feel the position of the vagina surrounded by his glands pants. So the issue here is as how Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih Al-Utsaimin respond to the question that part of the knowing circumstances, the position of the penis near to the vaginal opening, like what is surrounding the penis glands, meaning the glands penis, there is no necessity for the wife to take the return bath. That's the point of the explanation there. But when the position of the labia is near to the corpus spongiosum or corpus cavernosum, if you know the anatomy of the penis, you know about this terms, for example. So when the position of the vagina is near to the glans penis, this is not ejaculation. But when it reaches to the corpus spongiosum or corpus cavernosum, so in that kind of situation, he shall perform the purification bath. I hope you are getting the point of the explanation. Without penetration, there is no any necessity of performing the ritual bath from but the wife and the husband. But when the husband agrees without the penetration upon him with the ritual bath, when he releases inside the vaginal opening in that kind of situation, they are supposed to perform the ritual bath together. Both of them should perform the ritual bath. But in that kind of situation, wherever he leaves outside the vagina upon him with the ritual bath, it is not a mandate upon the wife to perform the ritual bath. Because the husband released outside the vagina up, and that can happen in case of family planning by adhering to the natural method of family planning. So family planning is a good way of following the or maintaining the sexual life, and it has so much benefits. There are so much benefit related to that, and there are so much reasons behind the family planning. And every man has his own reason. Each couple have their own reasons for family planning. Normally due to their health and well-being, and if they purposely for that, it is well approved by the reason. There is no problem with that. If it is purposely due to their health and well-being. The Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam mentioned, نعمتان مغبون بهما كثير من الناس. الفراغ والصحة. Two merits, two bounties. Then most of the people are not benefiting from, are not giving heed to that. Time and health. So your health is very important. If you decided to follow the family planning procedure, purposely for your health and well-being, that is highly recommended by the religious principles. And some of the corpus would come with this kind of notion due to the issue of empowerment and gender equality. In one way or the other, that can also be considered by the religious principles. because a woman has a right on her reproductive health. We should know about this. So, in one way or the other, that is also approved by the reason. For example, she would be able to have the chance to control her sexual life, for example, because the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned la darar wa la dirar, no harm and no perpetration of harm to others. And maybe the reason behind that would be for her to pursue a certain level of education, for her education or due to employment. She wants to get a job. Maybe she even get the job or she get employed. So if she's in the condition of nursing a baby, that would be a difficult task upon her. But when she has a kind of span, a kind of distance in conception, she has a kind of distance or span in her pregnancy, she might be having a well energy and good power to withstand the challenge in the employment. And it might be due to other opportunities, not even employment, maybe due to the issue of, like today, leadership, for example. One thing that we should know, Islam doesn't close any window for the woman to lead. Rasulullah clearly mentioned that a woman in the house of her husband, she is also a leader. And going back to the life of the Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam, we would see how he assigned leadership positions to some of the women, for example. So one thing that we should know related to this kind of issue, because some of the people were understanding the matters in an opposite way. So you should know the principles of the religion before speaking on such kind of principles. So the issue or the reason behind the family planning, if it is empowerment and gender, obviously for gender equality, that is also a fruit, because the Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam mentioned to Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, wa inna li zawjika alayka haqq, for sure your wife have a share of right upon you, and that involves her sexual right, for example, her reproductive health, for example, and anything from the social amenities, provision of her shelter, provision, all this. And another reason for family planning could be due to economic stability. So that's the only factor that the religion opposes, because clearly the Almighty mentioned that وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ دَابَّةٍ لَا تَحْمِلُ رِزْقَهُ اللَّهُ يَرْزُقُهَا وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ دَابَّةٍ لَا تَحْمِلُ رِزْقَهُ اللَّهُ يَرْزُقُهَا وَإِيَّاكُمْ. How many mammals that doesn't retain their provision, doesn't retain their provisions, they don't carry their shelters, but God provide to them and to you also. They don't carry their provisions, they don't carry their food. An animal can wake up in the morning without any store, without any food store, any food storage. That animal can go into the day and the animal would enter the evening time with a belly filled with diet. The belly filled with food. And one of the hadiths that Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam mentioned as how it was narrated by Imam Muslim. لو كنتم تتوكلون على الله حق توكله لرزقكم الله كما يرزق الطير. إن أنا أبدأ نعيش لرزقكم الله كما يرزق الطير تبدو في مازن وتروه بطار. If you are to rely upon God with an optimum reliance, God will provide for you as how he provides to a dove, as how he provides to a bed. تَبْدُو فِي مَاسِمْ وَتَبُوهُ بِطَالِ. If you get awake in the morning with a tight belly, with a tight belly, with a tight abdomen, وَتَبُوهُ بِطَالِ. And if it come back in the evening time, later it would come back with an abdomen filled with food. So the animals doesn't store their provisions. God provides for them. So likewise the humans. The Almighty has already designed, has already predestined your economic stability. But that doesn't mean that you should stop doing your work. You must do something. You must stand. وَمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمُ. Whoever among you that desires to stand, let him stand. You must to act. You are not to sleep on bed, waiting for your sustenance. You must to stand for your sustenance. Then God would suffice for you. And that reason of economic stability, the religion doesn't neglect that. But rather the religion accepts some reasons behind it. Maybe if the reason behind the notion of economic stability is having the capability to support the children's education, then that can be considered in the religious aspects. Because education, our education is very important. We know there are ulama al-uzzab al-lazina azharu al-ilma ala zawaz, for example, and nobody blamed them on that. I hope you understood what I'm trying to elaborate here. So knowledge or education is very important. It can be considered at any circumstance. But that would be approved before the conception, before you give birth to the children. But the moment you give birth to numerous children, you are not to come with that kind of notion, because it happened during the medieval time of Jahiliyyah. Of the people were infanticizing their children. Female infanticide was so viral at that particular time, at that particular period. They killed children. What's the reason behind kashyat al-ari wal-faqr? With the afraid of shame and poverty. They were afraid, they were scared of being poor. Because everyone at that moment of time, he want to live large. Everyone want to live a kind of luxurious life. Everyone want to chill, for example. Everyone want to chill at that time of medieval time of Jahiliyyah. Everyone wants to have a lavish life, so they consider children as a kind of liability. But God consider them as resources, not liability, even to this day. For they kill their children due to the outbreak of hunger, poverty, and shame, and most especially the people. So when the Rasulullah arrived, when he was given the message, he realized that culture in the Arab at then, they disliked the females. Rasulullah alayhi wasallam began to give awareness about the importance of females. He showcases their rights. He established the human right at that particular time, at that particular period. And that's one of the factors that leads to rebellion by the Quraysh. It's one among the factors that made them to negate the Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam. Because he came to tell them that God has right upon you, and human has also right on you. Every human should be given the desired freedom and rights. So many stories, so many examples about the people that infanticized their female child. So, and that's the reason why, the reason behind the family planning as economic stability is not only considered by the religion. Because everyone has his own prohibition. As how God provides to the animals, look towards the wild animals in the forest, in the rainforest, in the Amazon forest, in all the forests that we are having today. Most of the animals there, the reptiles, the arthropods, the annelids, the molluscus, God provide for them. God gave them the way to search for their sustenance. So in one way or the other, that cannot be regarded as a valid reason. So having bad spacing is a good idea, but not to be possible for economic stability. Because even to this day, this argument is ongoing. This argument is ongoing even to this day. This argument is ongoing even to this day. Led to the population. Population a boon or bane? Is it good or bad? But if you consider economic stability as a reason, then with that kind of situation, we can give examples. The highest economy today, the countries with the highest economy, are the countries with good population. Look towards the China, the United States, the India. And other countries that have a good economy, or strong economy, and France also, the UK also, even though in this year they have some issues related to their economy, but still, they are having the high population. Yes, no, nothing can negate the notion of being the population as a kind of side effect to economy. Yeah, it can be and such in another way if the population is not a productive one. If the population is not having the zeal or development, if they lack faith, they don't have iman, so then it can be a bad population. But according to me, I consider humans as resources. Humans are not problems, but only if we know how to organize the way to that particular population. I respect the opinions of those who proclaim that population can be a problem to the economy, but I don't see that as how people are proclaiming. By looking to some other factors, as how I mentioned, if the population is not a productive one, then it can be a problem. It can be a kind of problematic one. So going back to the reasons behind the family planning, there is another reason. The population control, which is related to the previous point that we finished discussing. So population control should be reviewed in so many focal lengths, not in one focal length. If you view the population control with respect to the economy, you can come up with a bad idea, even though you yourself you are seeing that as a good idea. And there are so many ways of population control. There are so many ways for controlling the population. And some of the ways are not pleasant. Are not pleasant to mention. For example, are not pleasant to mention. Family planning is one of the better ways of population control. What, like the WHO, for example, the conflicts are also part of the negative way of population control. And that's why you will see war here and there, in so many places. Like today, what is going on between Russia and Ukraine. Between Russia and Ukraine, and like the conflict in the Sudan nowadays. So today, if you view the world, there is war in Asia, war in Europe, and war in Africa taking place. Although it is not pleasant, but war is one of the factors that has been used to control population. Population control, as I mentioned earlier, it is not pleasant to be mentioned. So, if we know the better way of population control, it is better for us to adhere to that. And that's the reason why you see so many intellectuals, so many researchers, they consider family planning as a good way or better way for population control. But as far as humanity is concerned, according to my own opinion, I don't see population as a problem to humanity as possible. The only thing is that people should know how to design the way out, the way to success for that particular population in that particular area. So, and that's the reason why I keep mentioning that population should be viewed in different vocal lengths, not just economic aspect of it, because we have social aspects. Today in social activities, we need more population. We have the stadiums, for example, where some sports, for example, some social activities are going on. We have so many sports, football, basketball, the rolling girls, the volleyball, the hockey, all this needs so many funds, needs so many population. The population is not a problem if you view it in other focal length, but if you view it in one focal length, it can be a problem. We have places of worship, the masjid. Need so many population. We have annual anniversaries, like the Eid celebrations, requires many populations. And even the expedition itself, which is considered in one way as a negative way of population control, it requires population. So population is not a problem. It can be regarded as a problem when it is analyzed or viewed in one focal length. You get it? Even in the economic aspect of it, we have the whole of the transportation, the airplanes, the trains, for example. All this requires population. You want people to buy the tickets. The planes today, you want more customers. Without the population, how can those businesses succeed? There is need for more population, but the population should be controlled. But the control of the population is not as how someone understood. When we talk about population control, someone would be thinking that to reduce the population. Increasing the population is part of the population control even. Educating the population is part of the population control. When you educate the population will be a productive one. Today we need so much modes of development. We need that. So when the population get educated, then it will be a better one. Do you get it? And it should be also regarded as population control. So all these reasons can be the purpose behind the family planning. And religion has not any problem with regards to these reasons, with some kind of exceptions when it gets reviewed based on the people's understanding. Islam has nothing or has no any problem with population control, economic stability, the issue of health or empowerment or gender equality based on the way you understood. There is no any problem from the religious aspect. Do you get it? Yeah. We know there are some occasions in the history, some happening in the history led to some of the developments. For example, where some of the religious leaders decided to create some kind of penalties upon those involved in such developments, like what happened in 1954. None of them consider whereby the power of the archbishop and other religious leaders consider some modes of development as a sin, and they allow everyone that get involved in that to be imprisoned. What led they get to realize that that's not a problem, and that's the reason why any trending matter should be reviewed before driving a conclusion to it. Those that knows the matter that I'm talking about knows about that. And even today, when we are discussing about this matter, we get to realize that some of the so-called ulama or mashayikh, when negating these matters, whereby they don't know that they are negating, or they were negating the prophetic traditions. What I would like to say here is that the issue of family planning is halalated, as how the Rasulullah has clarified that during his lifetime. And the reason why the Rasulullah did not warn against Al-Azid, neither he supported that, is because he knows that, or he might be knowing that, it was a natural method, family planning. So that is not the most appropriate way of family planning. He knows that there would be a time when so many methods would be developed, like we have the use of the contraceptions. So with regards to this matter, we are going to conclude here, and if you have any questions, you can forward after, or you can consult your gynecologist or any primary healthcare providers related to this issue of family planning. They will give you a way forward into that. You can give a visit to the nearest clinics, hospitals, any specialized family planning centers. You know, we have family planning centers today available in so many places, in so many countries. They are well available. And you can also consult some of the well-educated mashayikh, religious leaders, or individuals near your side. You can dry good guidelines from them and that. So we shouldn't forget about what we discussed. We head to the issue of releasing outside the vaginal opening. When the husband adheres to that, ritual bath is upon him, not the wife. But supposedly, there can be a chance of microbial transmission, so the wife can have a desire of taking a shower in order to be free from such kind of infections like the syphilis, like the gonorrhea, like the HPV, which are common sexually transmitted infections or sexually transmitted diseases. In order to be free from STI or STDs, you should take a bath after the windows, and that's it. And we know bath is classified into two: the ritual bath and the normal one. The ritual bath, meaning the purificational one, is the one that is due to devotional acts. Your devotional acts of devotion will not be accepted by the Almighty unless if you are pure. If you are impure, that will not be accepted. So that's the reason. And for your betterment, for your well-being and for your health, you shall take a shower or take a bath whenever you engage into physical touch or romantic behavior or romantic play between you and your wife or between you and your husband. And that's what the religion explains. Even if it is a mere kiss, you can have a toothbrush in afterwards. You know what I'm talking about? You know yourself. You know how you act. Right, how this piece wind up our discussion, we are going to close here and we are going to proceed in our next session, our point of discussion in our next session would be حكم مخاطبة الزوجين بعدهما بكلمات ذريعة عند المداعبة أو الجماع. The rule of conversation, romantic conversation between the couples. Like one to speak or to say a kind of filthy word, for example, any kind of statement that triggers sexual intercourse. What's the rule of that? What's the rule of that? Like for example, saying of I want you to be inside me. People know about this. Or the statement of fucking. Or I want you to talk to Allah Musta'an. Everyone knows about these terms. So what's the meaning of such kind of statements between the corners? That will be our discussion in our next session. وأكبر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.